sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who is the Houston Astros' best player as we talk today? 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Lakers, who's the Astros' best player?
See, the obvious answer is Pena and the hot streak that he's been on since he started batting leadoff. But maybe it's because I still have the doubt that he's going to be able to maintain anything close to this for the rest of the year or that he's going to maintain this. I should say, I'm going to say Hunter Brown.
Okay. Wow. All right. Yeah. He entered my mind. I didn't think you were going to go there. You don't think Pena can sustain this, which, I mean, I don't think he can sustain an 840 OPS either. What do you think that number is for him? Like, when it's all said and done, we'll go OPS plus. Easy to translate. He's at 138 now. Like, his career averages have always been 100 prior to this year, around 100.
I would go 117.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think that's out of the equation. Hunter Brown's an interesting one. That's
answer. You know, regardless if you want to call him the Diesel or whatever they're calling him, I mean, the guy is just, he is lights out lately, and every fifth day when he gets the ball, or sixth day if they go to the sixth man, this dude is going to put up a hell of a start for you that, you know, has more people, again, retaking notice of the fact that this, he might be one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I think he's definitely in the conversation.
This is going to sound funny coming from me based on the conversation we had yesterday. I'm not a huge, like, back of the baseball card matters, because back of the baseball card. Thank you, Joe. Does do a good job of, like, kind of predicting the future, like giving us a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. I still think Jordan's the best player on the Houston Astros. And, yeah, I know he doesn't play defense. It doesn't matter, because if he hits the way he's capable of hitting, can carry any baseball team that he's on. So even though Jordan's off to a bad start, even though I was bad-mouthing Jordan a little bit yesterday, and even though, like, again, he's been abysmal to start this year, mm-hmm. and he always gets hurt. If he sneezes, he gets hurt. I believe that Jordan's the Astros' best player. Brian, who do you got?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how we frame this as actually available to the Astros right now, right, or just best player on the roster. Because if it's best player on the roster, it's obviously Jordan. But if we're opening up to outside of that, I would agree with Joel and go Hunter Brown.
Okay. All right. I thought you were going to go Pena.
I mean, offensively for sure. But just best overall player, I would go Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it like you mean it. Talk about your guy.
I will eat crow on that one, because I don't remember the exact phrasing that I used when conversations about Pena came up in the past, but I was certainly very out on his offensive potential. Maybe it's just as easy as a flip of his spot in the batting order, or maybe this is a Jalen Green hot streak that'll cool off. But
if it's a player reaching his potential?
Yeah, like, I know.
I mean, this is a young player. You know, players get better.
Yeah, but in year four, and he was kind of an older prospect coming in. So, I mean, I guess that's possible. It wasn't what immediately popped to my mind as, like, what's happening right now with him. But certainly, I mean, 16 games since becoming the leadoff guy, he's been amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of with BMAC in the fact that it depends on how we phrase this. Because if it's just the best player on the roster, I think it's Jordan. I think you're right, Jeremy. I think that, you know, just everything we've talked about in the past prior to yesterday was his unbelievable ability to hit for average, hit for power, have a good eye at the plate, that he could be a top five hitter in baseball pretty much every year going forward. You're right, the injuries factor in as well. But I just think if you just asked me, hey, if Jordan's healthy, who's the best player on the Astros? I think it's Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to go Jordan too. Now, if you went strictly off numbers and you eliminated Hunter Brown, it would be Pena right now. Pena's got your best WAR currently. 2.2. Isak is at a 2.0. I mean, sometimes it takes players a little while to click. I mean, Jose Altuve became the batting champ his fourth year in the league. Like, he went from being a guy that was being offered for Eric Hosmer to being a batting champion three of the next 4 years and winning an MVP. So I think sometimes we are too quick to judge players. And look, I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here, because I also don't think Pena is going to be able to sustain this level of play for the entirety of the year. But I do think he's going to be better in year four than he was his first 3 years, and I think he's probably going to be better next year than he is this year. I think it's the development of a young player. even an older rookie. I remember when the morning show was trying to get Mauricio Dubon to be the everyday shortstop over Jeremy Peña. You remember that not too long ago?
Yeah, and wasn't it
Granato called our show during our show whenever we were kind of mocking the idea of playing Dubon over Peña.
He killed us, didn't he?
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, he can't hit. He's Tim Bogar. They're calling Peña Tim Bogar. And they were calling for Peña to be benched for Mauricio Dubon. Like, and now he's arguably on the short list of their best player. He has been their best player so far through 40-something games. Through the quarter pole of the year, he is their best offensive player. And they're calling him Tim Bogar, and they should have benched him for Mauricio Dubon in the playoffs.
Well, wasn't when Correa left, wasn't the push that Aledmys Diaz should be in the mix instead of Peña? That Peña wasn't ready?
Whenever Correa left as a free agent?
Yeah.
Was Diaz still on the team, or is Diaz already gone?
No, I think that it was a conversation between, do you go with the young guy and you go with Peña, or do you go with, at that time, a guy that they really liked all the different things he was able to do in Aledmys Diaz?
Yeah, I don't remember if he was on the team.
I think that's right. We can look it up and see, but I believe that's how I remember it.
You remember, I'm looking it up right now. Do you remember, you know what I remember out of that one, though? I remember Cody Stoots banging the table for Andrelton Simmons.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember that?
Was he a free agent or was it?
I think he was a free agent.
He was like, yeah, this is the guy. I totally remember that.
He was banging the table for Andrelton Simmons. And I was like, oh, man.
Table's never going to be the same.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that.
Neither was Andrelton Simmons.
No, I'm just saying.
It was a strong joke.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounded like a fat joke.
It was a joke. Let's put it that way.
What was the movie with Eddie Murphy? Was it where he played all the characters?
The Clumps?
Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor, whenever the mom was like, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. That's what I just thought of whenever you said Cody Stoots banging the table.
Jeez. Cody's catching straight. We're out here talking about Jeremy Peña and Mauricio Dubon. All of a sudden we're making Cody Stoots fat jokes?
No, it wasn't a fat joke. It was a strength joke. It's a strong joke. Hercules wasn't
pounding
fat. Hercules was strong.
Stick to the Red Weasel jokes.
It's not fat. Brian, you're taking this completely out of context. The table's not going to be the same, not because he's fat. It's because he's strong. A fat man doesn't break the table. A strong man does. Hercules was not ever like synonymous with his size and his obesity. Hercules was synonymous with his strength and his muscles.
Except for in the specific example of the Clumps movie you just mentioned.
I wasn't Clumps. It was Nutty Professor.
Okay, yeah, but that wasn't a strong man. That was a fat guy.
He was very strong, though.
Okay, a fat guy can be strong, though.
I mean, you wanted it to be a fat joke. It wasn't meant to be a fat joke.
Yeah, I think you're running from it.
Now you're adopting Jeremy's.
I think you're running from it.
22. So let Diaz. No, Diaz. Yeah, you're right. Diaz's last year in Houston was in 22, and Correa left after 21. So he would have been on the table.
I know it was one of the possibilities.
Yeah, they were calling for Andrelton Simmons.
Should we put that on? I mean, we have bat take a little bit. Should we put that on there?
Andrelton Simmons did play baseball in 2022, though. He played in 34 games and hit .173 and never played the big leagues again.
Ooh. Yeesh.
That might be one of the all-time worst takes ever.
Added to the list today.
I mean, what? It's been 3 years.
Yeah, but, I mean, have we put it on before?
Yeah. I remember it still to this day.
All right.
Pretty sure. Fat guy can be strong. Life goals. Aledmys was on a heater at the end of 21. Some were saying Breggs moved to short and have Diaz at third for 22. I do remember that now you mentioned that. I do remember the Breggs play shortstop conversation. Joe George jokes. No one even brought up Joe George.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Would you believe that Tim Bogar's career average is within 10 points of Kyle Schwarber? Dude raked. Tim Bogar did not rank. Kyle Schwarber is not a batting average guy. Kyle Schwarber is an on-base home run guy. So it doesn't shock me that Bogar was within 10 points. Tim Bogar probably has like 3 career home runs. So that not a good comparison. Need to bench Rodgers for Dubon. What do you think about that?
I think for right now, I think you ride the hot hand. If Dubon's got a couple of knocks last night, then you want to play Dubon at second base. And until he cools off, I think defensively, I think both of them are equal to me.
Yeah, same.
So it's whoever the better hitter is at the time is who I would go with.
Yeah, I agree with you. Dubon had a couple of doubles yesterday. Give him a start today. If he goes 0-for, then go Brendan Rodgers tomorrow. If it's a fly ball pitcher, then go Jose Altuve that day. Jordan and his glass jaw starting to get annoying. Can't be the greatest if you can't be on the field. That's a fair point.
Now, I did look it up this morning. He's off the tee now. He's actually taken some – he's swinging in the cage. So I guess they're kind of – as MLB.com wrote it up, that he's more day-to-day now, like he could be coming off any day. I hope that's the case.
That's the way that Dana Brown – I listened to the Dana Brown interview on the way home yesterday with Salisbury. I went back to listen to it, and he kind of gave that same thing. Like, okay. You know, we expect him back, not necessarily like today, but very soon. He's getting close. And then he said the whole it's not hurting, it's lack of comfort type of deal, which is so we're not ever comfortable.
What the hell does that mean?
You know, if you have a little bit of an achy hand, it takes a little while for the
lack
bat to feel
comfort.
Good.
You know, Brian,
maybe
it's
got a,
like
maybe
when
he's got
you,
a callus
you
know,
when you go with the banana hammock instead of the boxer brief.
There's just no way he could have made Yordan sound more soft than saying, oh, it's not hurt. He's just, you know, just discomfort. It's just
I don't
not lack
with that.
Of comfort.
It doesn't portray Yordan in a very tough way.
It portrays him so soft.
Yeah, it does. Y'all said today as it stands, Yordan keps playing in the IL, rotating door. Fromber can be a head case. This exact moment right now, if not Pena, it's got to be Paredes playing Gold Glove caliber defense, getting on base at a high clip when healthy. Of course, it's Yordan. Yeah, Isak's been really good.
I was going to say, let me say this. I didn't expect his defense to be as good as it's been. But overall, the entire defense I didn't expect to be as good as it is right now.
Yeah, he's been nails. Rackham Pete, when healthy and on his game, Yordan is the best player on the roster. Certainly has the most PTO. He's got Palula level PTO. You know, in the Matrix. True. Have you seen the Matrix?
Yes, a long time
I've never
time
seen
ago.
The Matrix start to finish. Is it Neo? Is his name Neo?
Brian. What's his
I've
name?
Never seen the movie start to finish.
I think it's Neo. You know,
are,
in the Matrix
are you asking
part
about
one,
Keanu's character or Lawrence Fishburne?
I don't know, dude. You know, in the Matrix Part 1 where Neo finally realizes his powers, Peña has finally realized his powers, and I don't think it's going to stop. I hope not. He certainly looks the part. Got a vote for Hader as the best player on the Astros.
He's quietly doing lights-out work, too.
You should ask the hottest player, not best player. Well, then it wouldn't be a tough question then, Texter. Best player would be Yordan or Altuve. Go Twins. It would not be Altuve. Altuve's not even close in the conversation as the best Astro currently on 2025. Sorry, he's not.
How far down the list would we have to go right now?
I mean,
to
we
get
just
to
named
Altuve.
We just named four or five players. Like Isak would be higher than Altuve. Yeah. Yordan would. Peña would. Hunter Brown would. Fromber is.
I was gonna say Fromber is one that we're not.
Is Hader? It's hard for me to put a reliever ahead of him, but maybe.
There's no chance Altuve's in the top five, like, nope. as you just illustrated.
No, he's not in the top five. Best player is the closer. Hunter Brown is the best Astro.
This
Hunter Brown, and it's not close. Peña and Paredes deserve some love, but Hunter's right there with Cy Young.
Well, what did you say about he really started going when Altuve got going since maybe in 10 years this would be the lowest Altuve's been right now?
Probably. Yeah.
Like, where would you put him right now? Most times.
Oh, for, like, best player on the Astros?
Yes. This would be the lowest he's been. Yep.
Maybe 2020, whenever he was terrible in the COVID year.
Okay.
Because they were loaded. Like, they still had Springer, Bregman, Correa, Fromber. Verlander was out that year. Yordan got hurt, like, one game in. I'd have to go back and look. But maybe – I would certainly say the lowest since 2020.
Yeah.
And maybe more than 2020. But he was awful in 2020. He wasn't good that year. A lot of the Astros weren't good that year, though.
Yeah, his OPS plus that year in 2020 was a 71. So
that was the year he asked Dusty to move down in the lineup. He hit six for a couple of games at his suggestion. Remember that? Knocked on Dusty's office, said
yes.
Move me down.
Yep.
Which is admirable. I appreciate that. A couple on Twitter, Yordan, but Hunter Brown's having the best season. Hater in the conversation between Hunter Brown or Peña. Hunter Brown, Yordan, Peña, Hunter Brown. Someone gave us four. Altuve, Yordan, Valdez, Peña. See, that's an SAC. That's an SAT question. Which of the four do not belong would be Jose Altuve. All right. 713-780-ESPN. The NFL released their schedule yesterday. What do we think of this Houston Texans schedule? Did the league do them favors? No favors. How many are they going to win of the 17? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Texan schedule release, Blakers. What hot takes do you have of the Texan schedule?
I don't know about hot takes. I feel more confident in this schedule. I think everything is just fine for them. I mean, I like the national games that they got. Everybody hates Thursday night games, but I think overall I'm good with it. I feel like this is going to be a good year for them. And I mean, like we talked about, I wasn't all that giddy. I already knew who they were going to play, but
I don't like the six. I don't like the bye six in week six. Way too early. I hate that.
Early
I wish it was in week 12.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
I like the bye as late in the week as late in the year as possible. I'm not a fan of the bye in week six.
See, I kind of more like it in the middle. Like
I like it late. If you're going to be a playoff team, I like it late because like we
as
what
late
we do
as last year because last year was week 14.
Yes.
Ugh,
yes,
okay.
Get me healthy and get ready for the stretch drive.
Yep.
See, this is the thing. Like we all like, I like it at the midway point of the season. But we all make that calculus based on an 18-week year. The Texans are a playoff team. The Texans have been a playoff team the last 2 years. If they're not a playoff team this year, it's going to be highly disappointing. So it should be 3 years in a row where the Texans are a playoff team. If the Texans are a playoff team, last 2 years have been in the divisional round, they've played 20 weeks into the year. So the halfway point's really week 10. Not week
fine with
9,
week, 10. I just don't
week
like,
11.
I don't like the week 14.
I like it as late as possible. If I'm a playoff team, give it to me as late as possible.
Yeah, it just felt like they were dragging a bit going into the week 14 bye last year. Week 10 I'd be great with because, like you said, you're trying to play 20 weeks. That makes sense, dead middle. But I'm with you at least, though, week 6 far too early. That's probably my biggest negative that stands out on the schedule.
That's really my only negative. I mean, everything else is meh. Like, whatever.
I mean, you already knew you were playing these two, but, I mean, at Chiefs, at Ravens is tough. But overall, I think this is a pretty favorable schedule.
Yeah, at least they're not, like, back-to-back. Remember the Murderer's Row last year at the end of the year? Like, at least you don't have that. How about the Monday Night Football game being the second game of the doubleheader and starting at 9?
I hate that.
Week 7 at Seattle, a 9 p.m. game on Monday Night Football.
I was surprised the Seattle game was even Monday night to begin with.
Well, you know why. I mean, they needed a West Coast team to be starting that late. I do like that the NFL schedule, not limiting the Texans for a second. I hated the Monday Night Football games that started within 30 minutes of each other. I like that they're going back to the true doubleheader of it. I thought it was so stupid when they started them roughly at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I hated that. Like, I want to be able to see as much of both games as possible if I have the opportunity to see two NFL games on a given night. I really don't want to be, like, setting up two screens or just, staying more in tune with which is a better game of the two. I would like to just watch both of them as much of their entirety as I can.
Texture, do you think the NFL would ever go to a same week bye week for the entire league? Never. Never. They're not giving up a full week of inventory. No chance.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I do think they should condense the bye weeks. I think they're spread out too much. But, yeah, they're never just doing one completely bye week.
What are the spans?
I believe they start in week 5 and they go to week 14.
And you rather see, like, week 8, week 12?
Yeah, like week 7 to week 11.
I remember the Packers had the week 5 pretty recent. I think in one of Rodgers' last years, and they just – everybody killed it. They were just like, that's the worst possible time that they could ever get a bye week. Completely. I think if you pulled players, all the players would love to have them at least after week 10.
Oh, for sure. Here, I have them winning 13 games. 13
what?
And 4.
Ooh,
yeah.
You're Brian
this
year?
13 and 4.
One.
No, what do you mean? Whoa, look at this. They're going to go the week 1 at the Rams. I don't care. I know that they're underdogs in that game by, 2.5 points? The wrong team's favored in 6 months. Give me the Texans are going to go into L.A., beat up the Rams, 1-0. They're going to beat Tampa at home, 2-0. I have, like, they win divisional games on the road. So they'll win at Jacksonville, 3-0.
Duval.
Of course, they're beating Tennessee at home. They're 4-0. At Baltimore, no. 4-1 going into the bye. They'll beat Seattle on Monday Night Football, 5-1. They'll beat San Francisco at home, 6-1. They'll beat Denver at home, 7-1. They'll be Jacksonville at home, 8-1. They'll be Tennessee on the road, 9-1. They'll lose to Buffalo at home, 9-2. They'll beat Indy, 10-2. They'll lose at Kansas City, 10-3. They'll beat Arizona, 11-3. They'll beat the Raiders, 12-3. And then they'll beat the Colts. I lost one there. Oh, the Chargers. I have them losing to the Chargers. So 12-4. Then they'll win the final game of the year against the Colts, 13-4. Texans go 13-4. And the craziest game that I had them winning is what? At L.A.?
13-4 is in play. Beat one of some of the teams are considered the top teams in the AFC.
The only team, yeah, I have them losing to Baltimore. I have them losing to Kansas City. I have them losing to Buffalo. Like the best, I have them losing at LA.
And the Chargers.
The Chargers. Yeah. The best win I have for them is winning on the road against the Rams. Like 13-4 is on the table.
It's not insane. It's not what I picked, but it's not insane because this schedule is light years softer than it was last year.
So much softer. So much softer. I didn't really realize they had 3 home games in a row, 8, 9, 10, and they actually have 4 or 5 at home.
Yeah,
in the closing
stretch, no less. Like like you said, the last 5 games, 4 of them are home. And as you went over, like those 4 home games are Cardinals, Raiders, 4 of the last three of the last four, Cardinals, Raiders, and Colts at home to close the year with the game at the Chargers in between. So a soft closing stretch. You know, you're always going to have the uneven home-road split because of the 17-game schedule, but that's in your favor this year with nine home games and eight road games. Yeah, as you mentioned, there's no murderer's row like there was last year with the Dolphins. I believe it was Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens. There's nothing like that this year. They don't have to go to either coast back-to-back weeks. Like, the schedule makers actually did them some favors this year.
Other than the bye week in week six, this is as good and as friendly as a schedule as could be.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really, really conducive schedule to them for them for the year. I think that's accurate. I just think that there's going to be some slip-ups along the way. That's why I didn't go as high as 13.
And like they did, like Kansas City and Buffalo like aren't back to back. Kansas City and Baltimore aren't back to back. So there's like no fear of like a losing streak and losing tons of momentum and stuff like that, or like knocking your confidence. Super favorable schedule. What do you have them then?
I had them at 10.
Oof.
I had them at 10.
Who do you have them losing to?
Oh my God. I mean, I had them at 10-7, maybe 11, but I don't have them winning the opener. And I do have them beating Tampa Bay and Jacksonville and Tennessee. I have them losing to Baltimore. I have them losing to the Niners. I have them losing to the Bills. I have them losing to the Chiefs. And I have them losing to the Chargers.
That's 11-6.
Right, but then as I said to Brian, the one thing is I just don't think they're going to run the table on the division. I think they'll drop one to either Jacksonville or the Colts.
Okay. Like, but then you don't think that they could win one that they wouldn't?
They could. That's why I said the lowest I'd go is 10. I felt my first gut feeling reaction to every game, I had them at 10-7. I could easily see them being 11-6.
13-4. Take that for data.
You are Brian this year. That's crazy.
He's outdoing me. I had him at 11 my first run through.
I thought you said you had him at 16-1.
You should check your hearing there, pal.
Oh, that was last year.
That was last year, yeah.
13-4.
What'd you have him at, Brian?
11-5.
Okay.
13-4.
No, I'm sorry, 11-6. Yeah.
Good math, though.
Yeah,
Junior Broncos.
I caught it, at least.
J-Bone Beer Bong in the Kool-Aid, Barrett Sports Media Effect. 13-4, baby. 13-4, Brian. 713-780-3776. Wood and Keith.
Doesn't matter,
get
Brian.
In. Hang on, Wood and Keith. We'll get to you on the other side. The Hive texting about it as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
13-4, baby. Bookmark it. 713-780-ESPN. Texter, boy, this is worse than Will Levis take. Is it? We'll see. We'll still see about Levis, too. It's a camp battle in Tennessee, they say. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Wood, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Wood?
Man, y'all drinking the Kool-Aid.
13-4.
Let me break this down, y'all. I'm going to break this down. 8, 9, and 8. I'm realistic here. You got to remember, we have an offensive line that Nick DeFerio has put together that he has proven he can't put together in the last 5 years since he's been here. We got rid of our bookend tackle, the blindside tackle, Larry Tunsil.
Yeah, he's soft. Tunsil's soft.
Only protect hold up. He can protect CJ on that end. That's one thing that we knew he could protect on that.
He doesn't team. Help him up the ground, though. Whenever he gets sacked to the ground, he doesn't help him up.
But now you got these projects that we brought in here from other teams that we hoping that we can gel together as one offensive line unit together, which we haven't proved we could do that when we had a good offensive tackle. And the only tackle that we have now that's worth the dime is Titus Howard. And we're moving him back and forth from guard to right tackle, you know, and he's the best that we have. And so, and then you got to realize every time that we were getting killed in the middle, you know, and everything. And they are that right side. They were never killing us with the left side when Towns were there. But now we're going to get bum rushed. CJ going to get killed. You know, that's the reason why we playing against these teams. The Rams got a defensive line. Tampa Bay have a defensive line. Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City. That's the reason why we're going to end up going 9-8. You know, because then you got to remember the first two games we coming off with the offensive line. They don't get physical during training camp. They had a softest training camp rules now because of the union. They can't get too physical out there. So it's going to take them a while to get jailed and get physically strong enough to handle them big old 300-pound men that's going to be whooping it upside their head.
Wood, no, stop. Here's the thing. Let me ask you this. So you got them at 9-8, right?
Yes, sir.
You don't think there's any chance that they could back into an extra win? Because you think I've drank the Kool-Aid and I lost my mind because I said 10-7?
I think he's talking to me.
Oh, because I'm like, and here's the other thing. How many rookies and young guys do you think are going to be starting on this offensive line? The majority of the guys that they brought in are all veterans that know how to handle 300-pound guys.
If they were veterans, what they saw, they'd still be on their team that they were with. And the veterans that was worth the saw, we didn't the first during the first.
So your phone doesn't agree with you.
Did his phone just censor him?
Yeah, his phone doesn't even agree with him.
Well, appreciate the call, brother. Good call, and those are good points. Like, I'm not going to sit here in front. Like, those are really good points. Like, that is the biggest question about the Houston Texans and how good they can be and if they can reach their potential. We all know that. Like, and Wood described it very well. Like, their offensive line's the biggest question. If their offensive line stinks, they're going to struggle to get 9-10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to scheme it. I think the offensive line is going to be a little bit better than we think. I think it's going to be the sum of all parts. Yeah, Tunsil was their best talent, but they were still pretty bad offensive line-wise, even with Tunsil. So I think the sum of all parts will help. And I think Nick Caley is going to bring out the best of them. I think Nick Caley not only is going to bring out the best of them, but I think he's going to scheme for what is an average at best offensive line. Get rid of the football quick. Run the ball. Stop trying to run all these, like, these plays that take forever to develop. I always remember last year Slowick, whenever he was asked about like the identity of the team, and he said that they were like were top five or whatever in explosive plays.
Football was football.
Like, if you're top five in explosive plays, that's great. But also, what does that tell you? It means that you're taking a lot of shots. You're taking a lot of you're calling a lot of plays looking for explosive plays. Usually, explosive plays, yeah, you can give the an athlete in space and he can turn it into an explosive play. But the easiest way to get an explosive play is you catch a deep ball downfield. What does it take to catch a deep ball? The deep ball downfield. It takes time to throw it. I don't think Bobby Slowick was calling good plays with the offensive line that he had. I don't think he schemed it very good with the offensive line he had, and I'm hopeful and optimistic, clearly, 13-4, that Nick Caley is going to be able to scheme around an average offensive line. And obviously they're going to have to be at least average to be 13-4. So, you know, Wood's points are solid, though. I mean, would be their negative.
I am on board with Caley, and I believe that the combination of Caley and Popovich, I think, are going to help. And I agree with you that the scheming is going to be – I think that that he's going to bring in a totally different philosophy with the O-line. I think he's going to scheme it differently. I think that that he is going to get the best out of it, and they obviously consulted with him when they started restructuring this offensive line in the offseason. So I am optimistic the line will be better, even if the names aren't bigger.
Their offensive line stuck last year, and they won 10 games. And this year, they'll be a little bit better with a softer schedule, put them down for 11 wins. Isn't there still time for the Texans to make a move for the offensive line? There is, but they don't have tons of cap space. And, like, who are you bringing in now? They did bring in – who was that swing tackle? Noah Fant. They brought him in during camp a couple of years ago, who was their swing tackle. He backed up Laramie and Titus. Ended up playing
George
a bit
Fant,
that year.
Right?
One of the fans. I confuse him and the tight end. Fan it was.
George.
Like, yeah, whatever. They brought him in during camp, so there's still time, but there's also some cap restrictions that the Texans are facing, and then there's also, like, talent restrictions that most of them that are already, you know, anybody who's a free agent right now ain't great. I do like Will Hernandez. I wouldn't hate the idea of that. Who's the O-line coach? They have Greg Popovich's baby boy, Nick Popovich. El Jefe Jr. is their offensive line coach. Was the assistant offensive line coach last year, but we're going to kind of ignore that. You don't think Nick knows how to handle 300-pound guys? Nick Caserio is kind of small. I think he would get eaten by 300-pound guys, Nick Caserio.
I think he's talking about Caserio or Caley.
I don't know. They're both named Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a good question. You're probably talking about Caley.
I think so.
Yeah, you're probably right. Tell Wood that Houston had a top five defense in the NFL. They'll be better. Wood should be on Bad Take Boulevard. Hey, Wood, the Texans have a top five defense in the NFL. They'll be better. Can't put him on Bad Take Boulevard yet, though, because it hasn't materialized. We don't know if it's a bad take. He might be absolutely right whenever we're talking at the end of the season. So if he's wrong, then we'll put him on Bad Take Boulevard. But he's not wrong yet. We might disagree, but he's not wrong yet. 713-780-3776. Go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Jeremy. I love the show, guys. I think your win total and your record of prediction is one off.
13-4.
The fact that you just guaranteed a win against this new-look Las Vegas Raiders team like it was automatic is insane. New GM, new coach, Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl. Geno Smith, a top 15 quarterback. Then an A-plus draft. Aston Gentry comes through. Brock Bowers is a beast. They added some really key free agents. That is not an automatic win. The Texans will win 12. The Raiders will win that game.
Okay.
Any chance that Keith's a Raider fan?
It's cute that Pete Carroll has one Super Bowl ring. You know how many Nick Caserio has? Our guy, Big Nick? He's got six. Nick Caserio's got six Super Bowl rings, Keith. 13-4.
And how
Vegas
long ago was
cupcake.
That Pete Carroll Super Bowl ring? It's over a decade now.
He needed beast mode.
Yeah. At least he didn't screw one up that he could have won. No, never mind.
I also like how he said I'm
that, handed it right to Nick. He gave Nick one of his, so there's that.
Yeah, if Ginty's at the 1 yard line, give it to Ginty.
Yeah.
Also, like he said, I'm guaranteeing it. No, I'm just picking it. Just picking them to win the game, not guaranteeing it. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Pete, you're in the Hive. Pete, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Pete?
Well, on the schedule, I think the Texans are good for 11 wins at least, maybe 12. It just really comes down to how that offensive line comes together, as well as how the receivers opposite Nico Collins perform. Defensively, I think they're going to be just as good or better than last year. It just really comes down to the offense and how that thing comes together. But otherwise, I think they'll have a good year. On another note, NFL, why do you keep putting my Cowboys in prime time? They haven't been relevant since America Online was putting download CDs in my mailbox. Y'all have a good one.
Pete's old.
The love-hate of a Cowboy fan.
Pete, how old is Pete? He's at least in his 50s.
Probably.
Because he said in my mailbox. See, I used to get the American Online CDs, but they were in my parents' mailbox. So he's got to be minimum in his 50s.
He definitely had a MySpace account, right?
Oh, sure. I had a MySpace.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to be 50 to get MySpace.
I had a MySpace. Who was in your top eight?
Well, certainly. What was that guy's name that was in everyone's? Tom, that's right, yeah.
Oh yeah, that had the stupid looking over his shoulder picture.
Remember, you could make your you could customize your song. No, I guess you couldn't customize it, but you could pick your song.
You could,
to be on your profile page.
Yeah.
Man, that was before its time.
Yeah,
and Zuckerberg came in there and stole everybody's ideas.
That was when you could download music for free too. You could be stealing music from all over. For free.
Where did you steal your music?
LimeWire.
LimeWire. Before that, it was Napster.
Yep.
LimeWire. I think there was another one too. I can't remember. And then you would burn the CDs and you have different song, like different soundtracks for different emotions of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're feeling a little sad. You throw in a little Avril Lavigne. You know,
I love beef from the LimeWire. Just, oh God, I forgot that song's. I'm gonna get that song real quick. Boom, got it.
little Onyx. Who slams harder, Vince Carter or Onyx? B. Hannon. What was your AIM name? Did you have an AIM name?
No.
I had a couple. I guess the more popular one was the Real JB17.
Mm.
Yeah, it was the Real JB17. That was back when like Ohio State was doing the Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Philip, you're in the Hive. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. Just had a couple quick things. First off, I was hoping you guys could talk about or address the offensive line, Stroud's rookie year. The first couple of games, they were disastrous. Then we lost a couple guys to injury, and all of a sudden the backups came in and things settled down and it was kind of fine, even though theoretically the better players weren't playing. Second, I do think there's an element, too, where the Texans were constantly in close games or behind where they were having to throw late in games. If they could get more leads early in the game where you're not in a lot of passing downs in fourth quarter where you're getting that pass rush coming at you, maybe the offensive line statistically wouldn't look so bad. And second, I do think a lot of the offensive line woes were more mental mistakes than physical ones. And I would think that's an easier thing for a coach to clean up is the mental side, but especially if you get new players that don't have those same mental lapses. So I am optimistic from that standpoint. Real quick, I've got them at least 10 wins. I'm leaning 11. And I say that because, and I haven't heard anybody else mention this, but the redundancy now at the wide receiver spot, they've had so many injuries every year. Nico's like Yordan Alvarez. He's good to miss his X number of games every year, it seems, and then they're kind of stuck. Well, you now have Higgins and Nico are kind of very similar, and then Kirk and the other kid, I would say, they have very similar skill sets. And so now you have a little bit of redundancy built in. So when a guy's out, you have another guy with similar traits that can step into the same role, and maybe it'll be a little smoother process than what Stroud's been having to deal with when Nico goes down or Dell goes down or Diggs goes down for periods of time. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Philip. Look, I wonder if he has that all written down.
No, he doesn't have it written down.
I mean, he might have his list.
Because, no, Philip's smart
but
guy.
Normally he finishes at the end with the main thing that I'm calling about is after he's already gotten a majority of
them. Why are you making fun of Philip?
Why not? I can.
What did Philip do to you?
Nothing. I think it's very entertaining when he always says he calls in on the topic and he goes, now the main thing I was calling about, and then I also want to mention, but this way today he numbered them.
I think the offensive line thing is interesting. Like, why were they better 2 years ago on the offensive line when they were playing a bunch of journeymen and, like, jobbers?
Yeah, remember the Pittsburgh game when we thought they were going to get crushed by Watt and all and Highsmith and all the was it Highsmith and all those guys, and then they didn't give up a sack. And you're like, they led the league in giving up sacks. They think they gave up 11 in the first 2 weeks. They had Pittsburgh coming in. They were dinged up, and you're like, oh, no. And then they didn't give up a sack, and then they got on a roll. So, he did bring up some good points on the O-line. I think the big thing for me is, one, I think Kaylee, like we talked about, is going to scheme it differently, and I think they're going to be fine. But I also think the bigger thing is, to his point about getting a lead in the fourth quarter, this defense is nasty. It got nastier. It got deeper. As much as he was talking about the depth with receivers, I think their defense got deeper and younger and more. And I think they're even more talented. I think their defense is going to be their calling card no matter what the offense does.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 713-780-ESPN, Vermont with a good point. All these Texans calls, Joe George for PD of the year. I'd be on to something. All right, 713-780-3776. Tyler on hold. A lot of the Hive wants to weigh in on this as well. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Today is the last day for you to potentially save some money on your property taxes. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of cost, and Own Well is here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you some money. I did this today. I'm a procrastinator, so I was waiting for the final day. I did this morning. They give you a price right off the rip of what they could potentially save you, and they're not going to lie to you. Like, mine wasn't a crazy amount, but it was an amount that was worth signing up. It's an amount that's worth taking 3 minutes of your time to sign up at ownwell.com. But you can sign up in 3 minutes. Their experts will be fighting for you right away. They'll communicate with you right away how much they could potentially save you, but it's quick, it's easy, and they're going to do all of the work for you. Also, you pay nothing up front because they're cutting edge technology. Not only can start saving you money, but they're going to do it with no upfront cost. You only pay if you save money. They'll take a little percentage of the savings that they give to you. So if you don't save any money, you don't pay a single thing. So again, what have you been waiting for? Head to ownwell.com, sign up right now. But also, if they're not going to save you money, it's also the peace of mind that you're not overpaying on property taxes. So go ahead, go to ownwell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes, and today is the last day that you can do it. 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction. The average customer saves over $1,100. So again, go to ownwell.com. Today is your final chance to save a lot of money. Do not run out of time. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today. Ownwell.com. ownwell.com. It's ownwell.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
13-4, baby. 713-780-3776. Blakers has them at 10 or 11. How many did you say, Brian?
11.
11? Gone soft on me, Brian.
Yeah, I thought I was the most optimistic.
13-4. Schedule's piece of cake. Piece of cake. All right, back out to the HRMP listener line. Tyler, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Tyler and Conroe with the man, the myth, the legend.
Okay. Self-proclaimed,
When I saw the schedule come out yesterday, I was like, man, this is 14-3, easy, no questions asked. Right now, I'm bullish on the defense. This defense has the potential to be so good that all CJ needs to do is be Trent Dilfer. with the banishing of Bobby Slowick, I feel pretty confident that we're not going to see, you know, 4 to 5 wide receiver screens a game. So as long as we're not doing that, we're not trying to have long developing plays while CJ's getting mugged, right? I think that 14-3, 13-4 is reasonable. The schedule lays out where your hard teams are pretty evenly spaced, so I'm feeling good about it, guys.
Rack them.
Does Tyler work for the
man,
team?
Man, myth, the legend.
When he's not in Conroe? I mean, he was a swarm short of getting – I mean, they're bullish on their defense.
What's he wrong about? You're mocking him, but what's he wrong about?
I am mocking him. There's no way they're going to win 14 games. Come on, man. I'm being realistic.
I think it's in play.
I don't.
I think it's in play. I have them at 13-4. They win one game that I didn't have them win.
I think you're out of your mind, too.
All right, we'll remember this when the 13? Texans are swarming their way to a 13-4 record. Yes, their schedule's soft. I had them winning one game that you don't have them winning, or you don't think they're capable of winning. I don't have them beating anybody difficult. The craziest win I have them getting is winning at the Rams, where they're to a 2.5-point dog. Like, I don't have them going on this crazy, stupid, unrealistic winning streak. I have them beating everybody who I think they're going to beat. Their schedule is pretty weak.
Are you betting on 13?
Well, the over-under is 9.5, so yes, absolutely. Like, I can't get the 13 number. Like, that doesn't exist. But, yeah, I'll bet the over, no doubt.
Oh, but are you betting me they're going to win 13 games?
Why would I do that when I can get value at 9.5?
I'm just asking the question that you would ask me. I'm just asking.
Why don't we start at
that's not the question I would ask you. Whenever I ask you for bets, or like they're 50-50 things. No, I'm not going to trade value. That's stupid. I'm not an idiot. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I'll bet you the over under 9.5, or you can give me odds at 13-4.
No.
Like, why would I give away value? That's dumb.
Because when I have a take like that, the first thing you say is you want to bet.
Whenever I ask for a bet that you make, it's usually a 50-50 proposition. No. It's not. I never ask you to give up value, ever.
I think you do because I don't bet as much as you do. But
some of the things that I ask you to bet on, they're not ones that you get from a book. Like how many games are they going to win by Sunday? I don't know. Like it's the ones that I ask you, like how strongly you feel about your take. It's usually not a betting thing. Like it's not something that you can get from a sports book.
Okay, I mean you're very strong about this 13 thing, and I'm not
13-4. Yeah, 13-4. But I'm not going to give away value. I'm not going to give you 50-50 odds that they're going to win 13 games when I could get that at 9.5. That would be dumb.
What if I set the line at 11.5? Joel obviously take the under. You take the over. Would you bet that?
Why would I give away two games? That's stupid.
12.5.
Okay, you went up. I'll do 11.5, and you have to give me plus 300. I feel like Mr. Wonderful now, Tony O'Leary, making deals on the Shark Tank.
Yeah, no.
You're not. Why would I give 11.5 at even money when I can get 9.5 at even money?
Because it's the show. So we can move on now.
I'll give you 11.5 at plus 300. I'll give you 13 at plus 450.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay.
I thought we wanted a bigger 13 bet. Yeah.
I am adamant about it. I'm adamant about it, but I'm also not dumb to give away value. So I'll bet 13 at plus 450.
Okay.
No,
we don't have a bet. We can just
Brian?
Keep moving on.
Do we have a deal?
Well, okay.
10% equity? It's Kevin O'Leary. I think I said Tony O'Leary. Kevin O'Leary, my bad.
Okay, so the bet, you and me, you'll take 13 wins at plus 450?
Plus 450.
What? How much are we putting on it?
You name the price.
$25?
Okay. $25, 13 wins, plus 450. Now, of course, okay, if I'm putting up 25, that means that you're putting up about like 150.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like I'm getting very good odds on this bet. Nah.
Okay, all right, no deal. No deal with the Sharks. 713-780-ESPN. Texter, y'all are just homers. Loved OC first year when CJ showed who is. Y'all blame the coach. Y'all sound like Dallas homers, 10-7 because they're in the worst division in football. There you go. So we're a bunch of homers, according to 1516. 13-4, baby. Now, Blanker's had him at 11. Like, he's not a homer. He had him 10-11, so he's right about where you're at, Texter. I'm really surprised that y'all have them losing to the Chargers after the dismantlement we saw in January. Good point. Good point. There you go. 14-3 then. I'm sticking to 13-4. Sounds like Branham got upset when Joe called him out on the bet. No, I'm not upset about it. I'll make the bet, but I'm not surrendering free value. That's just dumb.
Joe George getting involved again too. That's terrible.
Kind of soft to hang up on a talk trash on me, Joe. Oh, Tyler Connor is calling you out. Kind of soft to hang up and talk trash on me. To be fair, we don't have the hang up button in studio.
Yeah, no one hung up on anybody, Tyler. I responded to your. First of all, I'm not going to appease. I'm not going to take a shot at you. I just think it's ludicrous that you think they're going to win 14 games. I'm entitled to give you feedback and respond to your take.
But can he give you feedback?
He just did, Jeremy.
Key from L.A., Rams pass rush will get to C.J. early and easy. 24-13 Rams, Ram emoji. Who, Aaron Donald walking through that door? This ain't the same Rams. These ain't your brother's Rams. Branham, scared money don't make money. That's why I gave them plus 450 odds, dog. Their defense alone could win them five games easy. Are you read that one? More likely to lose 14 games than win 14 games. Okay, that's interesting. Are they more likely to win 14 or lose 14, Blankers?
I think they're more likely to win 14 than lose 14.
I would agree with that. Hey, guys, I got Texans with 12 wins, undefeated in division, Stingley with five interceptions. Too optimistic? No, that's not too optimistic. No.
I think the defense and the Stingley thing is right on, and I think that I was skeptical because I always think there's one slip-up along the way that you're not expecting, but I think it's legit on the table they can run the division.
You think Houston is a top-five defense going into the season? I do.
Yep, for sure.
12 wins, Cody Stutes on a mobile. How do you get that fired up about Geno Smith as your quarterback? He was talking about Keith, the caller. Oh. He's fired up. That's because he also thinks Logan Webb's going to win 300 games. So it's not that hard to realize that Keith is getting fired up about Geno Smith.
That might have been the worst take I've ever heard on this show. Logan Webb winning 300 games. Yeah. I know part of what Keith is doing, at least I hope and I think, is a bit, but
I'm afraid it's not.
I hope there's some way to get in contact with Keith. There's some way that we're all on that to be able to respond to that and see that it didn't happen, but man. Yeah,
I'm afraid it's not a bit. Colts going 2-0 against y'all scrubs, says Colt fan. Okay, brother. How about you go get your video release deleted off the internet because you banned the Microsoft terms, you loser.
Yeah, how about the two apologies you had to issue?
Oh, that was so soft.
Dumbasses.
No, I'll save it for car wreck. I thought it was soft that they apologized for the Tyreek thing.
They also killed Will Levis.
Yeah, they killed tons of people in the video. The whole thing was nothing but trolling, but yet they had to apologize to the guy that's been arrested, a dozen times because they portrayed him getting arrested? Soft.
Get killed Will Levis, though. The bus ran over him.
The fact that they were outdone by a different team in the NFL by just getting the approval of Microsoft before they went out and
used it. Well, here's the thing. I thought their video was funnier, them and the Chargers both doing the Minecraft. But, yeah, like at least the Chargers did their due diligence and made sure they had the okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Branham tried to bet Blankers yesterday on Cash It or Trash It with horrible value. Look, I don't remember it. If you remember it, please
send
it in.
The Cash It or Trash It was the most we talked about one Cash or Trash was the Stephen A. thing, right? With Cooper Flagg?
No, we wouldn't have bet that, though.
No, I was trying to think what else.
Yeah, I don't remember the bet. But I'm always up to negotiate a bet. Like, if you don't think it's fair value, let's negotiate it. I'll give odds at times. I have no problem negotiating a bet. It's actually one of my favorite things to do. Texans have the number one defense in the league, and Blankers, you're a hater. There you go. Not sure why. Josh from Seabrook, I like the confidence of the Texans winning as many games as possible, but at the same time, you need to keep yourselves realistic. 13-4 is realistic, baby. 13-4 is realistic. And then, I mean, Brian has them at 11. Blankers has them 10 or 11. Like, they're definitely realistic. Ursay was drunk when he made that video. Ursay doesn't know how to work a computer. Come on.
There's no chance.
He doesn't know how to work a computer. He spent 3.5 hours in Josh McDaniel's bathroom. You think he knows how to work a computer? Get out of here.
He's working a plunger.
All right, I got to dip out. You guys are good with that, right? I'm going to head on out of here.
Sure.
Brian and Blankers will carry you the rest of the way. They'll talk about the schedule. Also, the top headline for each one of these games the Texans have this year, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.